Scripture lessons this morning. Our first lesson is from Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. It's found on page 201 in the Pew Bible in front of you if you would like to follow along. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. This is Moses giving the last of his, I guess, message to the Israelites. As the Israelites are on the other side of Jordan River, getting ready to cross into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. This is what Moses teaches. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Now, choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 through 37. It's found on page 959. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? We continue our reading through the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what Jesus says. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces wife, except for for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We thank you, O Lord, that you speak to us through the words that have been recorded, through the words that are going to be proclaimed. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, so that we may gain a new insight as to how we are to live as your people in this world. Help us, Lord, to choose life, choose to be the agent of life as we hear your words today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here and ministering to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The book of Deuteronomy is presented as a sermon. It's a long sermon that Moses gives to his people as they are almost at the end of their long 40-year journey through the wilderness, and just as they are about to get into the promised land. Moses has been their leader for over 40 years. Moses is the one who brought them out of Egypt, helped them across the Red Sea, and they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 days. And now they are on the other side of Jordan, kind of looking over into the Canaan. And he knows that his work is almost done. And he knows that he's not going into the promised land. So this is kind of his last word. You know, there's something about the last words, right? And so he's giving them, teaching them for the last time. And what we read today from the book of Deuteronomy is that's kind of his last thing. He says, I set before you. Basically, it's like a fork in the road, and you have to choose. I set before you the life and death, blessing and curse. Here, the Hebrew word for blessing, baraka, denotes the power of life to expand and flourish. But not just any kind of power or life and flourishing, but that's exclusively linked to God. So baraka, blessing, is what God gives as a life that kind of flourishes. Curse, on the other hand, is called kalala, and it's complete deprivation of the blessing, the lack of vitality, lack of life. And its existence without the expansion and flourishing that is implied in the blessing. So if you kind of imagine a tree, blessing is the tree that is planted by the water, flourishing. And curse is a tree that is planted in the middle of the arid desert. And you could see the picture, right? So Moses saying, this is what I have set before you. Blessing, curse. Life that is flourishing and the one that is drying up. One way is life and blessing, the other, death and curse. Which one would you choose? You know, I mean, there's really no question about it, right? And Moses was very clear. He wanted people to choose life. He said, choose life so that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, obey him, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So here, the people are presented with a clear-cut choice. Choice A, choice B. And there is no choice C. There's no third choice. If you choose not to make a choice, then basically you are choosing the way of the curse. So imagine yourself standing among the Israelites who are listening to Moses for the last time. Which would you choose? Would you choose life? Or would you choose curse? Of course, we will all choose the blessing. One thing we must understand clearly, though, is to choose life, to choose God, is not something that we do once. Okay, I'll choose God, I'll choose life. You know, that's not what it is. Is that one choosing does not make it all good. It's not the end, but it's merely the beginning. Beginning of life that is life of choosing. Choosing between the blessing and the curse. Choosing between God and others. That once we say, yes, I will choose the blessing, I will choose life, it means that you enter into that life of choosing now every single day, every single moment, every single incident to hold fast to God, to obey God's words, to love God. So just making that commitment once, that's not what Moses is talking about. To choose life, it means that we are entering into that lifestyle. We are entering into that mode of life where everything we do is now put up against God, God's words, our love for God. And that each time we are tweaking, each time we are choosing, each time we are making the decision to love God in that moment, with that relationship, with this incident, with this situation. Jesus in our gospel lesson kind of spells it out for us what it means to choose life daily in our lives. As he takes the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not break your oath and keep the oath that you make to the Lord. What Jesus is trying to impress upon us is that to choose life is not about keeping moral codes. So it says, you shall not murder. Okay, we're good. We haven't murdered anyone. So we are in the clear. Jesus saying, no, no, no. See, before someone gets to actually murdering someone, right? There has been many, many little choices that has been made. Right? A seed of anger and hatred. A person chose to take and plant it in his heart or her heart. From there, as that seed of anger sprouts and grows, you choose to water that, nurture that hatred and anger, grow it, and so forth. So when you get to murder, it wasn't just that one choice the person made. It was many, many choices beforehand. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so when we choose life, what Jesus is saying is, you need to make the right choices from the very beginning. So when you feel the anger arise in your heart, you need to choose. Am I going to take it, plant it in my heart, nurture it? Or do I choose to deal with it so that it doesn't become a destructive force? When we choose life, it means that we have to choose, make the choices that leads to life from the very primal level, from the very basic level. So choosing to love others rather than let the fear take over us. Choosing to forgive rather than let that anger seethe and simmer inside, rather than the resentment get the best of us. Choosing to respect others even when they are different from us. Choosing to not take advantage of those who are vulnerable, but choosing to lend a helping hand. Choosing to be generous toward others rather than choosing to do things that will only benefit me. See, this thing about choosing life and what Jesus says that we need to deal with in the very basic level in our hearts, it's not about life just for us. But when we choose life for ourselves, then ultimately we choose life for our community. When I choose life, it affects not only my life, but it affects the lives of those around us, near and far. That and brings life, brings vitality, brings that flourishing of life, like that water, that tree planted by the water. Kathleen Norris, one of the writers, this is what she writes. When I think of the demons I need to exorcise, I have to look inward to my heart and soul. She says, anger is my best demon. Useful whenever I have to go into a woman warrior mode. Harmful when I use it to gratify myself, either in self-justification or to deny my fears. My husband, who has a much sweeter nature than I, once told me that my mean streak grieved him, not just because of the pain it caused him, but because it was doing me harm. His remark, as wise as that of any desert Abba, felt like an exorcism. Not that my temptation to anger was magically gone, but I was called to pay closer attention to something that badly needed attention, and that was hurting our marriage. It confirmed my understanding of marriage as a holy act. One can no more hide one's true faults from a spouse than from God, and in exercising the demon of anger, that which could kill is converted, transformed into that which can heal. When we choose life in our own lives, then we have to now pay attention to the words that we speak. We all understand, we have all heard and seen the devastation the words bring when we say it to other people. Jesus saying, if you call your brother or sister stupid, then he says, you are the one who's going to go to hell, basically. That's what Jesus said. Because why? The words matter. The words either bring life or it squishes life. And so we as a people who choose life, it means that we are the ones who will speak words that will encourage, that will bring life to others, rather than to bring them down. As God's people, we are urged to choose to live and act in ways that are life-giving. Not because it's the law or the rule, but because we desire to live for God in our hearts, because we desire to express our love to God as we obey God's words, as we live in the way that God has desire for us to live. If the people of Israel are to thrive and prosper in the new land that they are about to enter, they must make deliberate and consistent choice to remain faithful to God for themselves and also for their community. And that's what Jesus is teaching us also in the Sermon of the Mount, that we as a people of God, ones who choose life, we also have to live deliberately and consistently, intentionally, choosing our words, choosing our actions that will bring life for us, for others, for our community, and for our world. I'd like to close with one story. So late one evening, a rabbi is sitting out with his students, watching the stars appear in the heavens one by one. The teacher asks, "Tell me, how can we know when the night is ended and the day has begun?" One eager young man jumps right in. "I know. You know the night is over and the day has begun when you look across the pasture and you could tell which animal is a dog and which one is a sheep." Okay. So teacher says nothing, gazing off into the distance. And so the young student asks, "Is that the right answer?" And the teacher says, "Well, it's a good answer, but it's not the one I'm looking for." Then there's another student who says, "Let me try. You know the night is over and the day has begun when the light falls on the leaves and you can tell if it is the palm tree or the fig tree you're looking at." The teacher says, "That too is a fine answer, but not the one I'm looking for." So then the students, feeling frustrated, "Then what is the right answer? Just tell us, please." So the teacher says, "When you look into the eyes of a human being and see a brother or sister, then you know that it is morning. If you cannot see a sister or brother, you know that it will always be night." We are the people of God who chooses the way of blessing, who chooses the way of life. And that life of blessing, God has given us so that through our intentional way of living to bring life, through our words, through our actions, in our relationships, at work and play, is so that we, not only we can enjoy that life, but we can also be that source of blessing in the world to bring the life to those out there who are seeking, who are looking, who are yearning for that life. So, as you choose life, in our world, in today's world, in all that is happening in our country, in our world, in what ways can you be the source of blessing? In what ways can you show that you choose the path of blessing? I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes, reveal it to us, and give us the courage and the strength to live our lives that shows blessing to others. Amen.